Hello, hello again, food fans. We're just arguing about what we're going to talk about today. Well, I'll tell you what, here's a clue. Flour, sugar, milk, butter, shortening, baking powder, and eggs. Those are the ingredients in a pastry chef's cupboard. They craft treats that can be flaky, crumbly, buttery, or creamy, using a combination of culinary ability and creativity in baking, decorating, and flavoring, much to my delight. And on the show today, two pastry chefs to share their secrets and to answer your questions. Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery here in Albany. And gosh, they do amazing work. They brought all this stuff today. Our staff out in the front office is going crazy. We want to hear from you. What's your favorite pastry? Are you planning to whip something up for a coming weekend or a shindig of some kind? Give us a call. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or go to our Facebook post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There should be a Vox Pop Food Friday post there. Or you could tweet at WAMC Vox Pop. But again, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having us back.
Thanks for having us back.
It's been a while, yeah?
Yeah.
And we were discussing like 12 seconds before the show, what do we talk about? Well, let's start. And I know there was some dissension between you two about what we will start with. But I want to talk about your collaboration with the Albany Institute first.
Okay. Well, I think it was about a year ago that I got a call from Tamis Groft, the executive director of the Albany Institute.
Yeah.
And she expressed interest in collaborating and finally opening a cafe in the Albany Institute.
Wow.
Because, you know, these days, every great museum needs a cafe. You
right.
know, something to eat or whatever, some coffee. And, you know, we've been talking about it, and we agreed, and we thought it'd be a good idea. And they're renovating, like, as we speak. So maybe the spring. It's going to be called Crishan at the Albany Institute.
Oh, that's really cool.
Soon.
That's
yeah.
great. That's
yeah.
exciting. I mean, if I was running a museum, I'd be a little concerned that people who, you know, they might have had a snack of some kind to get crumbs on the mummy or some of the paintings. But as long as they keep it clean, I think it'll be all right.
Isolated. It's a good idea. And, you know, it's the museum does a great job in attracting, you know, children's exhibits, and they have a great children's playroom. And as we know, we have kids combined. We have, what, nine in this room?
Wow,
between
that's,
you
that's
and us.
Incredible.
And you know,
that's a
that,
baseball
like,
team right there.
You know, if you don't, you bring your own snacks anyway. You
yeah.
know, if they get hungry, so why not? You know, they're gonna really enjoy the cafe.
Well, that's really exciting, and obviously they couldn't have made a better choice of pastries. Oh, look who's here! Wow, there's pastries being opened, and it's our producer, the affable Jessica Blaustein Marshall, taking a. You're gonna post that on the Facebook?
I am.
So Jess is gonna take a picture of some of the delights that you have brought for us today, and we'll post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. The number to call here: 800-348-2551. What did you bring today?
Well, as we were discussing this, why don't we start, since you're going to be eating this stuff.
Well, only a nibble.
Only a nibble.
Yeah, you know.
Why don't we start like with like the bready type thing?
Okay.
And work our way towards more of a dessert.
Now, this was part of the argument.
I just decided this.
Claudia pretty much said
it was. It was part of the argument.
I agree.
Okay. Well, that's what it was your idea.
She doesn't want to leave me out of it because this box is my.
It's like
see, part of my job is to start some strife here during
thank
the show.
You,
makes for great radio.
It doesn't take much
no.
to do that.
Absolutely
so
not.
So like you know, so this box here is kind of my specialty, so to say. And this is the pretty beautiful decadent. That's what Claudia kind of focuses on. What we help her with.
Okay.
I am involved in this too. This meaning
the multi-layer
cake. So anyway, this box, we just have some croissants or croissants. I don't know how fancy we are.
Well,
right
I like
now.
To say that.
Croissant, okay.
Yeah.
I make these. It's a scratch recipe. Claudia's mother taught me kind of like a bare-bones German type of recipe that she used in Romania, and I altered it throughout the years for our preferences. And
but I think why we brought them is that they're very different because we use fresh yeast.
Why does that make a difference? Yeast is not yeast. Yeast is not just yeast.
No.
Well, no. You know, there are different types of yeast cells. This one is the fresh one that you usually find at your local bread bakery.
Yeah.
And it's alive, so it dies. You have to be very careful. And it's very moody. So.
Right.
So how do you keep it alive? In the fridge?
Yeah, just...
Yeah, you can't really freeze it. You know, it doesn't like extreme temperatures.
Well, it goes back to when we always wanted to make something fresh daily. That was, I mean, a good bread is only good for about a day or so.
Yeah.
So when you use fresh active yeast that I buy from Prinzo's Bakery on Delaware Avenue, that's for Joe.
Okay.
They're my go-to because Prinzo's is closed like 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., but they're open all night because they wholesale rolls and stuff. So if I'm in a pinch any time of the night, I know they're open. And I get my, because the yeast is that important. To have the fresh yeast, it's active, it's alive. It's a tiny microscopic plant type of
it's
thing.
It's like your collaborator.
A collaborator.
Yeah, yeah. But tell them how you know that it's fresh or...
Well, the way it crumbles, if it's clay-like, throw it out. But if it crumbles and breaks, it's perfect. The difference between fresh and instant yeast, which is maybe what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Instant yeast you can buy anywhere, grocery stores and stuff. But it's basically packaged and processed like Tylenol. Tiny capsules with a layer around it.
Yeah.
So it's a longer activating thing.
But is it alive still in the
capsule? It is back in there, yeah, but it's just...
Dormant.
Interesting.
Dormant, so to say. I mean, maybe those capsules kind of contain it and keep it as fresh as possible. That's why it has a long, long shelf life. But it gets active with mixing and you fold the dough over and over again and refrigerate it.
Yeah.
So the benefit of the instant yeast is you can freeze your dough or refrigerate it and use it...
Or retard it overnight.
Right.
It's a longer process.
So with instant yeast, you can use the dough later. Fresh yeast,
how
you
much
have
later,
one
though?
Shot, days. You
really?
You can freeze it, and then you're good for a while, you know?
But it's the nice thing about the fresh yeast is that you kind of have one chance. So you have a product in 3 hours from like beginning to end.
I'll say that's actually not so nice. Because you have, I'll tell you, listen, Claudia, does not make the croissant dough.
But I hear all the frustration. That's the problem.
And she saw the frustration one day when some of it ended up on the ceiling because I'd had enough, and there it went.
Wow. But, who knew there was such drama in the pastry business? Wow.
You'd be surprised. Commercial kitchen.
That's why they have all the shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is you have basically one shot at the dough.
Yeah.
So if you mess it up, it's gone. You could always make some kind of bread or rolls out of it, but the lamination process is impossible.
Yeah.
Laminating meaning you're wrapping the dough around the butter, you sheet it long, and then you fold it in thirds. You do that 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, that's how.
So you wrap it in butter. Explain to me, someone who's never done this, how one wraps anything in butter.
No, other way around. So it's laminate. Like when you I'm sure people have heard this. I don't know if our staff is listening, but when you laminate a document, right, you're wrapping it in plastic. Right?
Yeah.
Think of the paper as butter. And then the dough is going around that.
You're wrapping the butter.
The butter is a block, right?
Yeah.
And you make it into a square about an inch thick. You get your dough. You cut it and spread it. The butter goes on that. You wrap it around.
Kind of like a diaper around the baby.
A diaper. Ray would understand that.
Yeah, that's a common theme. Okay, I get it now.
And then you sheet it, you know, as long as possible without breaking it. The problem is if you have holes, the butter leaks out. That's a problem. That's not ideal. And then you fold it in thirds. Cool it, do that 3 times. So then you have 9 layers.
Okay, so there's a lot of cholesterol in these.
You get a lot of croissants too. So there's a lot of butter.
But I mean, that's why they taste so good. There's so much butter in it.
I mean, you get flavor in the butter, the egg, and then I put milk too. There's milk in there. Why don't you eat one?
I will. We'll take a break here, and then I'll have some. We'll take a break in a minute. I mean, we've all had... croissants that are, you know, you guys are always turning out great stuff. What's the difference in the process for making a really good one and a so-so one?
The process is...
I mean, obviously you get a little frustrated sometimes, so there must be something to it.
Well, it's a similar process, but the difference is really, I mean, like she said, using fresh yeast is important.
Ingredients.
And also,
you have to use really good ingredients.
Yeah. That's obviously the quality of the ingredients. Yeah,
the
you know, really
is
good,
very important.
Really good flour has flavor. And then the butter is huge. You have to have good butter.
All right. So, again, butter's not just butter.
We use unsalted Cabot butter.
Yeah. Oh, that's great butter.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Cabot seems to be a good, like, all-around butter in our bakery. There's Plougra makes a really good, like a European.
It's very expensive, though.
It's so expensive.
It's very fat, also.
Yeah, it's a little too fatty.
Really?
That can actually be a problem.
Yeah, I didn't even.
But also, I mean, the price point is also important, too, because we have to make margins on this.
But, you know, Cabot is nice. It's kind of local.
It is.
Yeah.
Cabot Creamery is, every fun drive.
And their cheeses are fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery here in Albany. How many people work for you guys?
Right now, we actually have two only.
Two? Mm-hmm. Are they working now?
Yes. So they're wonderful. Derek and Kaylin, I don't know what we would do without them.
We have two. They've been with us for almost 7 years, and they're really high-skilled.
Yeah, so...
Really. With customer service in the kitchen, they're like our prep chefs. And
it's got to be tough for you to leave for 2 hours, you know, for an hour and a half to come here, get prepared for the show, do the show, when you only have two other employees.
They're very well trained.
That's how good they are.
They're amazing.
I don't know
what we could do without them, actually.
Because we don't have a storefront, so it's just our kitchen, and we do everything to order. So it's really customer service and then the prep work and the service, you know?
So we used to have a lot of people when we had the cafe, but... sadly, we kind of had to let go of that. We were overextending ourselves, so it was a little...
Well, the good news is, in, 10 years or so, you'll have four employees that'll work very cheap.
That's what my mom is saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are laws. If they're part of the family, you can pay them for a little. All right, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Vox Pop Food Friday. We talk pastries. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMP comes from Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional specials to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com. Bread Alone Bakery, Kingston, celebrating 32 years of certified organic handcrafted breads, with a new space open for breakfast, brunch, lunch, or a late snack on Route 9 West between Kingston and Saugerties. BreadAlone.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, don't you know? Ray Graff here, joined today by Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery right here in Albany. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll get to the phones in a moment. First of all, let's try some croissant, eh? Yeah.
Help yourself.
All right, Jess is going to cut that. This one's almonds.
Oh. Just destroying my creation. Oh.
Well, you should have seen the pain.
Just tearing it apart.
This is what he does to me, too. Whenever, like, I...
It's a plastic knife, Iggy. Cut her some slack.
Okay. I think the best way is just to break it.
That's how Claudia does. She just tears it up to pieces.
And so this is
all my work.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Like, I don't know why you...
So, Claudia, you're the laid-back one, right? And he's the just temperamental artist. Is that the deal?
Oh, man. That is backwards.
Really? She seems very relaxed.
Well, I haven't had coffee today, so maybe that's
Well, we could change that.
No, I don't think I'm allowed to
only
have
about
right
my croissants. Everything else.
The texture is so good on these.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Ray, I must say, it's always funny hearing you eat on the radio.
It's tough to do the show.
I know. It's amazing that you do it, actually.
All right, let's go to Susan in Great Barrington. Susan, I got to eat a little bit, so you talk, okay?
I'll do that. And this is a little off topic, but... I was hoping your guests could maybe just give me a simple clarification or something on the different creams, like pastry cream, diplomat cream, custard for ice cream, custard for this. They all seem to have the same ingredients, and I don't know, like, if I want to make an eclair, do I use a diplomat cream or a pastry cream or a Bavarian cream? So I kind of moved it off the croissant into the cream, but if they could just maybe explain to me simply... some of those differences.
Well, I think that's okay. It's okay that you moved it from the croissant. Actually, Iggy makes most of our custards, so You see, he's pointing at himself, yeah, so he's very happy.
Well, I
am very dependent on him. So it's like, the egg custards are very important because they give you the richness that you would want in the dessert. So it depends on what you are mixing that custard with, because you can mix it with a like a whipped cream, like a heavy cream. And then it will give you something almost like a mousse, or you can mix it in with a butter, which will give you kind of a very heavy, not heavy flavor, but a rich flavor of a vanilla. Of course, you can put chocolate in it. Actually, that's what we do for most of our cakes. You always make custards for our buttercream because. It's so much more exciting than just the butter with sugar. So then you can, maybe I should let Iggy tell you how to make the egg custard.
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, I understand your kind of, not confusion, but I mean, there are a lot of different kind of, I would even call them fillings or custards. And I mean, we found that part of it is how you're going to use it.
Like, well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, you were going to make like one of those little tarts you always see in the things with the fruit on top, but it has a custard underneath.
Right.
Is that the same custard that you're putting in an eclair, say, for instance, or?
I think it varies from most places. Our custard from the eclair is very similar to the one that we use in our fruit tarts, and it's a basic vanilla custard. So you just boil it. It's a French vanilla, and you boil it with milk.
Right.
It does have some flour in it. You can make it without flour completely if you do have like a French a gluten-free request, and that actually we use for our. It's a lovely little cake that we make. It's called Richard. And that's the one. It's a very rich yellow custard, which you'd get with the egg yolks.
But also keep in mind, like, there's no right and wrong, obviously. There's no rule. There's no rules. You know, if you're making a fruit tart, which is what you're describing probably, it depends on your preferences. Like, if you like a thick, rich custard or more of a nice, light chantilly. I'm a big fan of the chantilly. I like tasting the heavy cream and the vanilla, you know? And,
okay, because I thought they were all basically egg yolks, and you just they're all like egg yolk based, and then you just add varying amounts of milk or thing, and I never knew actually what they meant by chantilly.
Oh, right.
No. So it is very confusing because there's so many terms, and then you have different terms depending on different countries that the cakes come from. And sometimes, like we have in Romania, where I come from, all these desserts kind of overlap, which is very interesting, and then you have this like weird melting pot of flavors. So there's a beautiful, actually I thought when I saw the little sign, I thought you were calling about this fantastic pastry cake that we make in Romania and then in Hungary, and it's called kremes. It spells the same as creams, but you just read it differently. And what it is, it's again an egg custard. This is always like a collaborative project because it's a very, very thick. It's almost like a souffle custard. You have to boil the egg yolk with the milk and sugar. And then while that is happening, you are whipping your egg whites. And then you have to fold the hot cream, hot-boiled custard into the egg yolk, egg whites, and that will make this fantastic and set your you have to pour it into a shape, and that's the Napoleon, our Eastern European Napoleon. It's fantastic because it is this teeny tiny, skinny pieces of flaky pastry on top and bottom.
Outstanding. Hey, Susan, thank you so much for the long call. Yeah. I got a chance to eat some croissant here.
I'm going to have to buy myself a pastry dictionary, I think.
All right, fair enough. But thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. 1-800-348-2551, the telephone number. We talk pastries with Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery in Albany, and George in Norfolk, Virginia. What are you doing on the phone? Isn't there a blizzard coming?
It's snowing lightly here, but it's not sticking. And, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, and...
Oh, are you in Massachusetts now, or are you down there?
No, I'm in Norfolk, Virginia, and snow don't bother me. And I'm a faithful listener to the station. My question is, I like baking. I like making pizza dough. That's my favorite.
And yeah.
I was wondering what kind of dough they use, and probably the brand of yeast.
For pizza dough?
Yeah.
For pizza dough, I mean, we don't make a lot of it, but I do. Some of our colleagues do, and I know that almost every pizza dough they use a special flour called doppio zero, double zero. And you have to start with that. It's a very finely ground.
Baba Louis uses sourdough, and it's great.
Baba Louis, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
Baba
Louis
is wonderful.
Where I get my flour from, and they do make a pizza blend, is from King Arthur flour.
King Arthur is wonderful. That's what we use, actually. Mm-hmm. So King Arthur is one of the best you can use.
Yes, it is. So, okay, I guess I'm doing things right.
Well, you can always, like I told the other caller, like, there again, experiment and try. Make your own blend. You know, or talk to bakers. Go to your favorite pizzeria and talk to them, too.
King Arthur, I'm like a huge advocate for,
really?
For them.
Really? Are you not a paid spokesperson, are you?
Maybe I should be.
No, we can't have that on like public radio.
I kind of like give this so much commercials. But
I would try, I mean, for an Italian style, I know the double zero is what they live by. And then if you want a thicker, breadier one, you know, I would do a blend with a bread flour with a higher gluten content. But again, experiment, and at the very least, you can eat it. You know?
George, you can always call my buddy Rocco DeFazio over at DeFazio's
yes.
in Troy.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He knows.
Yes.
That's what my craving, actually.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Now, just so you know, George, the D.C. mayor, probably north of you, said, everybody inside by 3 o'clock. Just came over the news.
Oh, wow.
Everyone, yeah, it's snowing moderate here. It's not sticking, and the temperature is supposed to climb here in Norfolk, and we're supposed to get rain tonight into tomorrow. So I don't think they're predicting 1 to 3 inches before the rain starts.
Oh, that's not too
and
bad.
That'll wreak havoc here.
Well, it's nothing for Massachusetts. Hey, George, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Have a great day, Ray.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I guess I'm kind of wondering about how you categorize something as a pastry. I mean, there's a lot of things made out of flour and shortening and sugar, et cetera, et cetera. I happen to be making cornbread right now, but I don't think it falls into the pastry category.
You know, it's a good question.
It's such a good question. We have this discussion every day, I think at least once a week in the bakery. You know, I think especially here in America, people just have a very loose term for pastry, but I think I'm not sure because I always consider pastries basically the croissants, the flaky thing, the layer, but not the actual cakes, the things that I make. So, but we have so many clients that just call us and you say, do you make pastries? And we say yes. And then we tell them about the croissants. They're like, no, that's not what we mean. We mean the cakes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very, I don't know. I wish.
It is something you have to communicate with because, I mean, we call, in our mind, the pastries are something,
almost like the
flakier, maybe they're yeasted,
right.
Maybe they're not. I mean, like a strudel. Something you'd have for breakfast.
Yes.
So these petit fours, or if they are petit fours, they're not pastries to you?
Not to me, I think it's the culture that I'm coming from. So
he was pointing at a little dish of some of our multi-layer buttercream cakes. Mm. Now I would we push that kind of in the dessert category,
right?
You know, I wouldn't have a chocolate croissant for dessert,
right?
Right, you'd have more of a denser chocolatey or like a sweet cake.
But I think I would put a fruit art in a pastry category, which is odd.
Yeah.
So it's like
it may involve like a baked part of it has to be kind of almost fresh baked and then finished easily and quickly to be a pastry, something more, it's not high art, you know, or.
Well, I
but I'm sure a lot of people would disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree. Probably a CIA instructor would have like a perfect explanation of
hey,
this.
Hey, it's great to find out you're as confused about it as I am.
Right. Well, that's why they're on the show. They're experts. Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. Now, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Okay, the almond croissant is amazing, and I was picking from the middle here, and you can still taste the almond. So how do you do that?
Well, that's...
That's what I make.
Really?
Brilliant. We collaborate. I use a I use the frangipane filling that Claudia makes. She makes me a filling, and it's she makes it. So
well,
what's
it's almond paste.
Yeah, it's so good.
With a little bit of butter, some sugar, and then eggs.
It's delicious. And I also tried the ham while Nancy was on the phone. Mm-hmm. So this ham croissant is amazing, too.
Thank you.
This is great. You guys, you know.
This will all be at the Institute.
Will it really?
This will be daily at the Albany Institute.
When are you guys planning to open that?
Soon. I think spring.
That's fairly vague, Iggy.
I know.
Let's go back to the phones. Maybe you come up with a better answer. Deborah and Rhinebeck. Deborah, you're on.
Hello. I've been starting to make vodkas, and I use instant yeast. I don't seem to get enough loft when it's rising, and I don't know if I'm doing something wrong with it or if I should use a different kind of yeast.
Mm. It's not giving you a good rise, basically?
It's not. Yeah, I'm getting a rise. Mm-hmm. I'm very careful to keep it out of drafts. I actually get the oven just a little bit warm, about 100 degrees, a little bit less, so that it will rise in the oven. Mm. But it just doesn't seem to have enough rise in the pan before I bake it. And then when it bakes, it just doesn't seem to be enough.
I would check your sugar. You have to have some sugar to feed the yeast in the recipe.
Oh, sure. There's sugar. Yeah, it's a box, though.
Maybe you don't have enough yeast.
You may want to increase the sugar.
Okay.
Or just increase increase the yeast and the sugar. There's a disproportionate problem with the yeast and sugar in your recipe if that's happening. And also steam helps.
Right, that's what I wanted to say.
If you're using 90 to 100 degrees to proof is great, but steam also really accelerates the whole process.
Really?
Yeah.
So how does I don't have a proofing oven, so how would I do that?
Yeah, I mean if you have using your home oven, you're
right.
So you can either even put a pan of water in there in the bottom, or I've heard of people just getting like a little kind of
a sprayer,
a squirt gun type of thing, and opening their oven quickly and spraying it a few times and closing it. You know,
that's the cheapest way to do
it.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, try that out. That's what I would do.
Thank you very much.
Now, Rhinebeck, obviously the elevation is not too high, but elevation plays a part in this too, right?
It must, yeah.
Because we've had bread bakers on who've said, depending on how high up you are.
Well, those are the serious bread bakers.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones we go. And 800-348-2551 is the number. Actually, we have to wait because Barb is taking the information down. So tried the ham, tried the almond, and what's this one?
That's just our simple plain.
Oh, just the fantastic. Simple.
Wonderful with coffee. That was,
you know. Did you have it? Have a look at the look on everybody's faces when you walked in. It's like Santa Claus came in the building. You know what I mean? Everybody in this this organization knows Krishan really well from fun drives and everything else. So it's always
we're
nice
very
to see
excited
you.
About the lockbox, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you
yes.
in?
Close.
You know what? Drop a croissant in there on your way out. Let's see what happens. 1-800-348-2551. Tell you what, Zach. Let's Zachary Malloy. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll hit the home stretch. And it is Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Your emails at voxpop@wamc.org or your calls 800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Viva Fresh Pasta. 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out. At the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Field Goods. Working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly local produce year-round. Pickups at workplaces or convenient community locations, field-goods.com. And Hudson Wine Merchants, a wine and spirits boutique in the heart of Hudson, New York. Curbside service and delivery available. Hudson Wine Merchants, raise your glass. HudsonWines.com. Thank you.
Yeah, Iggy was asking. This is Chuck DeLoya on guitar there. Boy, that guy can play. He's a local boy. That's a group called ABCD. And Claudia, you were asking about the lockbox.
Yes.
So Colleen O'Connell came running in here with a total. We are at $427,572 in the lockbox right
now.
All
right. Let's go for it.
So, okay. So if by the beginning of the drive, a week from Monday, we hit $500,000, we'll get an extra $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. And we're doing well. We still have over $75,000 to go. So let's do that. And it'll be, gosh, it could be a 4 or 5 day fun drive. That would be amazing.
That'd be wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah.
I must say, even though I love the fun drive, we just miss you guys during the fun drive. It's like,
It fills me with terror because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But yeah, Alan loves it. Joe loves it.
Everybody loves it.
I think I'm the only one who's white knuckled during the whole thing, you know?
It's so funny.
Well, the number to call here is 800. It's not a fun drive yet, boys and girls. It is Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery here. And the number to call is 800-348-2551. If you want to weigh in on this whole what's a pastry question. And so while we were in the break, we still talked about it, and I still don't know.
So I think my confusion comes from the fact that in Romanian we have two separate words for. So we have cofetaria and patisserie. So the cofetaria covers all the cakes that have creams in them.
Okay.
It's very simple. So that's the whole description. And they usually have to be refrigerated.
Right.
Patisserie is whatever Iggy usually makes. And it's basically any type of dough. And it's just you have one chance to make it good. And it usually involves, you know, involves the dough and then the baking. And then you're it's done, basically.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the cofetaria part... it's just so many layers, and before it just a product is ready to be consumed.
Right. So a lot of steps.
Steps. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you brought some little mini cakes. I call them petit fours, but they're not that.
Speaking
right?
about the steps, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What have we here? I see a huge blackberry.
Yeah, so that's on top of the olive oil cake, olive oil lemon cake.
Olive oil lemon cake?
Yeah,
really?
It's delicious, very moist
That looks
cake.
Great. If you're watching online, WAMC.org, click watch video and you can see this.
Then you have three things that are gluten-free because I know you have a lot of callers that have
gluten sensitivities.
Sensitivities, or they're just trying to stay away from it.
Yeah.
We have an egg-free cake.
Which one is that?
The one in the middle, the chocolate one.
Okay.
It's actually one of our most popular ones. It's very similar to a devil's food cake. Very nice.
I think I tried that before the show. It was very good.
It's a very simple cake.
You didn't
cake.
Even have
it's
to tell
like...
me it was gluten-free.
It's egg-free.
Oh, it's egg-free.
It's egg-free. Mm-hmm.
Man, delicious.
And then we have a fiori di latte, which is just a very simple, light cream cake with cream chantilly. Mm. So it's a lot of little layers.
So this is your area of expertise, Claudia?
I don't know if it's really expertise. It's what,
oh, give me
what
a break. I mean, come on. It's expertise.
Well, when is something becomes expertise? I don't know, really. It's like when you make it over and over
you
and
must
over
be
again,
joking.
Or...
Well, when it's good all the time, right?
I guess when you have kind of the same result over and over again,
yeah.
Right?
When people say, gee, you're pretty good at this, I would say you probably have a level of expertise.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess you're right.
We'll have to try these, and I know our producer wants some of the sweets, so we'll get to some calls perhaps in a little bit, and then we'll eat some of that. And you put a blackberry on the top. That's a huge. Would you get that from Chernobyl? That's massive.
You know, I always get nervous about the berries. So whenever we try to we use berries, we try to get them from local places as we can. During the winter, it's just hard. So I think this is actually from Whole Foods. Am I even allowed to say this on?
Well, I mean, it's a little late, Claudia. You said it, so yeah, it's fine.
And then, glitch.
Well, you haven't sworn yet, so everything's fine. A number to call here is 800-348-2551 if you want to stump the band, if you have a question about what is pastry or anything else to do with pastry. We would love to try it. And, I'd love to try some of this. And I won't do that until we take a call. Who's tired? You guys tired?
No.
No? What time do you get up to start your job?
He gets up earlier than me. He's like,
I say five is pretty normal.
Five?
Sometimes earlier.
That's nothing. And you have little children?
For the croissant stuff. I told you right now, we have a somewhat good working
sleeping relationship.
Sleeping situation,
yeah.
With the little ones right now.
Well, that's good. That'll change. But, well, you know, I'm up at 4:30. Most mornings, yeah.
For some, anything before 5 is a problem for me. Used to 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I function better earlier, huh?
Well, she's, you know, she went to art college and grad school.
You don't have to, like...
She can work all night, all hours.
Well, that's good. Because most grad school people, they don't really want to work once they get out.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, number to call here is 800-348-2551. All right, let's try something here. You recommend it, Claudia. Which one should I try?
Well, you should probably try the lightest one.
Start with this
Help
one
me out
right
here.
Fiori, the light, the white That's... one.
I'm just going to... Can I just use a fork?
Yes.
Or is this
going to... This is different.
Well, okay. Those are for you, kind of.
All right. Well, I don't want to... Let's see. Now, this is white cake, right?
Yeah, so what it is, it's basically a genoise, but instead of... egg yolks, we put heavy cream, like whipped cream inside, but you have to whip it in. And it has a lot of vanilla, and then the layers, the cream layer, is just like a chantilly, which is just a vanilla in heavy cream.
It's very light tasting, but it must not last long. You must not
be
able to keep it long.
Exactly.
No, this is the one cake that, like, you have to eat it basically the day it's kind of made.
Mm.
So the cream that you're using is very important because it's...
That's delicious.
Can I say which one we're using?
Why not? You've been throwing plugs out the entire program.
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to.
No, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
No, they're local and they're fantastic farms.
Well, tell them.
So
go ahead.
It's a Meadowbrook farm.
Oh, sure. Meadowbrook.
So their milk and cream are
great
just like
milk.
Ridiculously good.
And the best
good.
Chocolate milk. Love the chocolate. Oh, yeah.
You know, I tried it once when I was pregnant. It's just like I shouldn't try things when I'm pregnant. But their heavy cream is fantastic.
All right,
yeah, that cake in particular kind of features it's simple flavors. It really features the fresh cream and just simple vanilla, vanilla bean.
It's very nice.
It's a nice one to start
with. It's not overpowering at all. Let's go to Walker in Beckett, Mass. Walker, you're on.
Oh, hi, Ray. Howdy. I love Food Friday. It's like the best program, maybe next to, Medical Monday. That's also kind of interesting and informative.
Well, they're a little different, yeah.
But I wanted to weigh in on the pastry debate today.
Yeah.
And I was thinking for, like, in the English language, pastries are kind of sort of just any form of, like, sweet thing that is dough. So, like, they encompass from, like, cannolis to cakes, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the American kind of general term, which creates some confusion. But, I mean, my parents were born and raised, well, my mother's from Italy, but they were raised in Brooklyn. And whenever we went to visit my grandmother, they would get a box of pastries, quote unquote. And in that box, you'd have anything from a fruit tart to a Napoleon and anything in between. Obviously, the cannoli. And that's what I thought pastries were growing up.
It was a pastry box, correct?
It was a box of pastries, which is, very different than what we've grown to kind of understand. I think Claudia was kind of agree with her that a pastry is meant to be like a daily made object or a consumable. It's hard to describe.
And the nice thing about the pastry is, like, you really have one chance. So the thing is with, like, a chocolate cake, okay, if it gets a little dry, you put some syrup in it, you can put buttercream, you can cover it. Or if it looks bad on the exterior, you just decorate it. But with a croissant, you're kind of like, you just have one.
Yeah.
As soon as you mess up, you're done. It's over.
Yeah,
that's true. That's how it
and
is.
And it's very and then the process is kind of like more accentuated when the fresh yeast is involved because it's so temperamental. So the temperature in the room, the atmosphere, the pressure is so important. So like he always gets like the best croissants when it's really hot and humid and you can't stand in there. It's horrible during the summer. So it's like. They're the best croissants ever.
They're good, but you don't even have to proof them. You don't have to put them in. The proofer is like a sauna for pastries.
Yeah.
It's humid and warm.
Almost going back to the question that the lady about the babka said.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe the difference really is pastry versus desserts. One step, maybe two steps, one chance. Desserts, you can have multi-steps And then you have a more complicated kind of dessert.
All right, Walker, thanks a lot for the call. Our number to call here on Food Friday is 1-800-348-2551. Tom in Cambridge, you're on. Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to try and double dip here, if I may.
Fair enough.
Let me preface by saying I'm not a baker, with a capital B. I do bake with cookies and pies and things. And my question specifically is about a Greek cookie that I've made from our family recipe, which is kurambiadas. It's a common cookie. It's flour, butter, nuts. And my question is, these always come out dry for me, really crumbly. How can I make them more more moist and chewy? And the second question is, how can we get a directory of good food places, or is there one already? I like to eat healthily in addition to the cookies and pies. I haven't found any good directory of health food restaurants, if you will.
Oh, I see.
If you could comment on that.
Ray, listen, you look at me and I've been dropping names like here.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Listen, it's your show.
No, I think it's your show, isn't it?
No, that train left the station a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
No, go right ahead, Claudia.
Okay. So, no, I'm speechless.
Oh, come on. Anyway, there's Albany Eats, right?
Albany Eats is great, yeah.
Okay. That's a place you can look around.
And the 518 Suites, Albany Suites is, again...
It's a website?
You find a lot of them on Instagram, I think.
Oh, really?
I do a lot of Instagram, which is kind of like...
I got to follow you on Instagram.
Like,
I will.
Oddest things we do.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's very photogenic. This plate of, I'm not going to call them pastries, little tiny cakes, they're beautiful. I mean, so, Instagram is a natural.
That's so nice of you.
So how about for his crumbling problem?
Oh, the crumbling. Do you have enough butter in there, actually? And are you baking them for too long? Or are you, you know what? You might be also, are you mixing them for too long?
Ah, that could be a problem. Yeah.
Because I found when the dough is dry, they get worse. So I add some water to it.
I don't think it's a good idea to add water, though. So what do you have in there? Flour?
Yeah, it's basically flour, water, butter, walnuts. And, you know, I mean, this is the kind of pastry that...
Oh, I think I know. Okay, so maybe your flour, you just have a little too much flour in it. If you have the flour and the walnuts, sometimes you, depending on the flour you're using, again, going back to the flour...
King Arthur, of course, is what most of the experts recommend.
So you can decrease the amount of flour you're using and substitute it with the nuts, walnuts that you're using.
Ah.
And that will give you even more flavor, actually. You should have enough. I think you should have enough in there that should keep them together.
I would say egg as well. There's no egg in the recipe.
There's no egg, yeah. So it's kind of like like a short cookie scone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe
but then, like,
too much flour or too much nuts?
I think it's too much flour. But I think also the process of how you're mixing them, it's very important. So I don't really know what you do, but...
I think there's some salt in there too. I cut in the butter, that Cabot butter, and
so sorry. I know. I agree with you. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. But are you using the King Arthur flour?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe your flour is a little too rich. So maybe you need like a pastry or like a cake flour. So that will bring the gluten down.
Okay.
And then you're creaming the butter probably, right?
No, I'm just cutting it in. So
cutting it in. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
So why don't you try to cream it, actually?
Okay.
Cream it with the sugar and then add everything else.
All right, and next time they're on, Tom, call us back. Let us know how you did.
Or call us directly at the store.
Oh, you could do that as well. Yeah. Let's go to Jim in Latham. Jim, you're on.
Hey, great, thank you. I grew up in the 70s on Long Island, and at that time, every town from Manhattan to Montauk had at least one or two overnight 24-hour Greek diners who had full-time pastry chefs on. The goods that they made were unbelievable. And these were good paying jobs. These were people who supported families off the jobs. I was wondering, what are the prospects for a pastry chef as far as a career, and what type of wages they would put in?
Oh, good question.
Wow. For a pastry chef. I can't. I mean,
remember,
they
own their own business, so
yeah.
it's a little different.
A little different.
But I, you know, we've never worked for anybody else. It's a good question. There's always going to be work for a certified pastry chef, you know.
Hotels usually are great.
Yeah, I was thinking more for the higher-end restaurants and hotels hire a house pastry chef.
No, we lost him. Okay, fair enough.
Well, you did. That was a good question. That's a very good question.
And we'll get back to the phones in just a moment. We're joined today by Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria of Crishan Bakery in Albany. And this one came in via email from Roseanne, who says she's a devoted listener. Here we go. According to Food Lover's Companion, the definition of pastry, one, any or various unleavened doughs, the basics of which include butter or other fat, flour, and water. Examples include puff pastry, pâté brisé, pie pastry, I don't know what that is. Sweet short pastry as well. Two, a general term for sweet baked goods such as Danish pastries and Napoleons.
Yeah,
that's
so
not helping us.
Actually, it does, because that's kind of what I see as pastry.
Well, it just reinforces the fact that
there's two definitions. They're both completely different. Yeah. All right, let's go over to Ross in New Windsor. Ross, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, chefs. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you. Fine. I tried my hand at Dominic Ansel's Cronut over the holiday, and it came out all right. I'm wondering if you make a version of the Cronut.
All right, what's a Cronut?
Fresh water. Cronut is the croissant donut.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the Holy Grail.
Yeah,
it was the thing.
You don't know what a Cronut is?
No.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? When was it?
A couple of years ago. Big trend.
Yeah. Long ago?
Down in New York.
See, I'm not too hip.
Well, I mean, a Cronut is basically like, so Ray, when you make your croissant dough, before you cut it up in all these triangles or whatever, it's a big sheet.
Right.
And I don't remember his name, this guy down in lower Manhattan. Ross knows. You know,
Dominic Ansel.
He's an amazing cook.
He decided to just cut them in circles and fry them, deep fry them.
Brilliant.
So you get the best of both. And then he would pipe in like a nice, a very rich cream. And they were wildly popular. It was a huge fat.
Wow.
Big thing.
I did put a cheeseburger
between the two. Then you'd really have the Holy Grail.
I think that's been done.
Really?
I think a bacon cheese. Yeah, I'm sure it's been done. You know? But so Ross, I did. One morning I did try it, and it didn't go very well for me.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. I know that the original chef, he really had to work hard to figure the dough out. He didn't just do what I did, and let me just fry my dough and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried that. That was the starting point. But then he kept altering the flour blend to get it just right, that it would rise enough. And then it rises again when you bake it in the fryer, when you fry it. And it puffs out in the middle. When I did it, the middle was raw. So that went. I probably still ate it, but it wasn't fit to serve.
I couldn't get grapeseed oil. And I think that's what he specifies. I think I'm going to look for that next time.
Right, because the flavor would be affected.
That would be important.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that the temperature, because grapeseed oil fries at a higher temperature, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very important. That's the problem with the cannolis. Whenever you make the cannolis, we don't really fry much stuff. So, but or the donuts, the plain donuts. The temperature and the type of the oil is very important.
Right. So you don't use like a 10W30 or something like that. All right, Ross, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Jeanette very quickly in Belchertown. Jeanette.
Yes, good afternoon. When you have a lot of pastry, how do you keep them? Do you refrigerate them? And what do you put them in if you do put them in the refrigerator?
Excellent question.
So do you mean, again, we're going back to the pastry question, do you mean croissant and or cake? Cakes.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm talking about eclairs.
Oh, yeah. So you can't... That's exactly what we were discussing. So the way I'm thinking of pastries, you basically can't really keep them over night. So I would say you keep them, but the texture will change. You should keep them refrigerated. If you can keep them in an airtight container, that will probably give you better results. But the eclairs, or like the fruit tarts, for example, or Napoleons, will always change their texture. So they have to be eaten usually the day of.
Okay. Okay. Hey,
they will not go bad, but it's just that you don't have the same texture.
We're out of time, Jeanette. Thank you for the call. This is the winner. What is this?
That's a flourless one. Is, pistachio.
This is beautiful.
Oh, I'm
this
so glad
nice
you like
piece
it.
Of work. All right, this was a lot of fun. Thanks again to Claudia Crishan and Iggy Calabria for being here from Crishan's Bakery. So
thank you so much for having us. It's such a treat.
When it opens up at the Albany Institute, we'll be there, and I'll get some crumbs on the mummy. It'll be fabulous.
Oh, my God.
Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring local producer-only foods and products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium parking in the Uncle Sam Garage, troymarket.org. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being with us all week long. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein, Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for a news update.